League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Yiner hits one high and deep to left field. There's the first run of the game. Yiner Diaz. Home run number 13 on the season.
Hey, bartender. You just set me up with a Yiner bomb.
If you ask the bartender to set you up with a Yiner bomb, what do you think they would do? I don't know why he said set me up with.
Yeah, now
while asking for a drink.
Is that how Bummer asks for drinks? Like at the bar?
Could you set me up?
With a Jaeger bomb? With the Irish car bomb?
Yeah, if I had done that at the bar that I went to on Saturday night, which was, by the way, very slow. The service, very slow. I still left a great tip because I'm a tremendous human being. But slow service. Had I asked one of those people who were so bad at their jobs, had I asked one of them, hey, can you set me up with a dirty vodka martini, please? I feel like they would have given me a strange look. Now, they were giving me a strange look anyway because it did look rather colorful. People can't handle my Metro wardrobe. They just can't.
Yeah, I feel like you're, it's almost like you're asking for like a double without asking for a double the way he's asking. Like you're like extra, set me up for a dirty martini. Like just, they might think they want it extra dirty.
It's just unnecessary words.
Yeah. I was just, you know, I was just curious. You know, maybe that's how, hey, look, maybe that's how Blummer goes.
So the Astros have now won so many games of late. They have an 11-game over 500 mark on the season. I'm talking about saying things weird. I don't know why I said it like that. You're kind of hypocritical. I was trying to think of how many games the Astros have won of late, and I was like, damn, all I know is they've won at least 9 of 10, but I can't do math past 10. Once it gets past two hands, that's where we run into trouble. But yeah.
They've lost two games since August 5th.
Hell yeah. There we go. There we go.
I don't. That means they've won a lot in between, but only two games since August.
Okay, you weren't going to count either.
No, but I figured, but like I feel like it still sends the message.
All that matters is they're 11 games over 500, and they lead the American League West by four games, and they are five games out of first place in the American League. It led to an interesting tweet by Jeff Passan, shout out to Syracuse University, who wrote, "This is shaping up to be the weirdest baseball season in a decade." With 6 weeks left, he listed the dozen best records in baseball. Win differential from number 1 through number 12, 7. They're all within 7 games of one another. The best run differentials, listed that as well. The best team in baseball is on pace for 95 wins. The last year without a 100-win team was 10 years ago, 2014. Similarly, the last time the top run differential in baseball was less than plus 231 was 2014. It's barely half that at the moment. Passan concluded his tweet writing this. A year after a 90-win wildcard team faced an 86-win wildcard team in the World Series, the 2024 championship looks as up for grabs as it's been in a long time. You see that tweet? And if you're a Houston Astros fan, you should probably be cackling. Maniacally, like an evil genius.
I mean,
they're
the favorite.
Third time's the charm. The first two weren't very good.
I thought, the third one was the best for sure. I mean, they should be the favorite in the American League.
Everything is unfolding exactly as I have foreseen.
Everything?
No, not everything, because, again, I thought they would be lapping everybody by now and that we would be saying, hey, let's super sim the rest of the regular season because the Astros are just better than everybody and the American League West is a BS division. And okay, that last part is true again. But 5 games out of first in the American League altogether.
I mean, you can't ignore that 2 months ago, on June 18th, they were 10 games back of the AL West. They're now 5 games back of the American League. Like, what they've done in 2 months, they are the best team in baseball over the last 2 months, and it's not even close. And that's why passing the Orioles or passing the Yankees is possible, because those teams, like, the Orioles didn't really address their biggest flaws at the deadline. They didn't add enough starting pitching. The Yankees, they added Jazz Chisholm, but they really just are still not putting it together.
You hesitated when you said that.
But
say it again. I
Jazz Chisholm.
Jazz Chisholm, not the other thing that you're thinking.
Not Chaz. Yeah.
Do it.
Nope.
Do it.
Pass.
Do it.
Veto.
I think you could do it.
I'm out.
You're middle management. You can get away with it.
That's not true. That's fake news, Paul.
All right, fine.
But the Astros are still, like, they, because of their history, they should still be, in my opinion, the American League favorites this year.
Wow.
No one, the Yankees haven't been to a World Series in, what, 15 years?
Yeah, but they're better this year. I mean, their lineup is scary. Pitching's not scary, but the lineup is scary.
Is it?
Yeah, they got Soto, they got Judge, and they got Stanton.
I don't trust them. Like, it's just the Astros.
That's looked at through a lens of Astros.
I know, but like they dominate them every single time they play in the playoffs.
I get that. I don't disagree with that.
It's definitely a level of Astros arrogance, 100%. But
they sweep the Orioles, so that helps.
The way they've played the last 2 months, I don't see why the Astros' arrogance shouldn't be back.
I can't say the favorites. I say I feel better about everything, but I'm chesty amongst ourselves, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, I've said get chesty. And if you are an Astros fan, you should get chesty. But if I'm the actual Astros and I'm with all these other teams within striking distance of the best record in baseball, I'm just being quiet. I'm being the strong, silent type sitting in the back, because they're dealing with a lot right now of injuries that have to go away by the end of the year, I think, if we're realistically calling them the favorites. Sure, it's a crapshoot. The Diamondbacks made the World Series, for God's sake. And the Rangers did beat you in a 7-game series, but they looked like they were dead in September. So anything can happen, as you've told me, something I didn't know about baseball before.
Yeah, it is like a very glass-half-full view of the Astros when talking about being the favorites, because in that, I think, very clearly assuming health, which is probably a stupid thing to do at this point.
Why is it stupid?
Well, because Kyle Tucker's missed, like, we're in month 3 of him not playing from a foul ball going off his leg.
It's just a bruise, man.
You know, we got guys missing time for sleeping. You got Yordan being taken out of games and then missing the next one, and it's just a regular day. Presley's got a back issue, and he's old. It is like glass half full for sure. JV's coming back off injury. Like, it is very glass half full of, like, that they're going to be healthy to be the favorite. Part of it also is to see, like, I saw a video this weekend from one of the John Boy podcasts where they're shaking in their boots.
You actually watched them?
It was the headline was the Astros are the AL favorite. So I was curious. I clicked on it. And what I watched was two very scared Yankees fans.
They were scared.
They dejected.
That was the air dejection?
Yeah, of just like, it's the Astros. The Astros are inevitable again.
Oh, they said that. Okay.
Because that's kind of how it feels. But this baseball season's fun. I think this is what they wanted from the expanded playoffs. Like, you didn't see a ton of movement at the trade deadline. You've got a super competitive, you know, season this year and last year. I don't know if it's the long-term ramifications of the expanded playoffs, but that's probably what they're going to try to sell us on. Of why they did it, because you have all these competitive teams. It does lead to like a way more fun the rest of the season.
What I don't like about it is that this allows the teams that don't actually try to justify them not actually trying. This allows a team like the Seattle Mariners to say, well, if we win 54% of our games, we're going to make the playoffs, and who knows what happens when we make the playoffs. So ultimately, owners could do more, but instead, now that the playoffs are expanded, everyone can have their fun. Everyone can say, we finally broke our playoff drought, which shouldn't actually matter when, what, 14 teams are making the playoffs?
That's a good point, because it does allow teams also to not spend money, and if they can just find a way to squeeze in when it's this competitive. I mean, like, and I would expect there to still be a 100-win team this year. Like, there, someone will break through, probably the Dodgers, or maybe even the Orioles themselves. We'll try. Someone will find a way to break through to 100 this year. But it's just, this is where baseball can be a lot more enjoyable, that when you look at these all these teams clumped up, from the Phillies at 73 wins to the Braves with 66 wins, and you've got, like, the Astros are going to be playing all these teams over the next couple weeks. The Red Sox aren't even on this list.
Yeah.
So, like, you've got just more competitive baseball, and it just feels now, you know, you go through the long summer of where baseball is slow and there's nothing really going on, and now we get to the last month and a half of the season, and there should be a real sense of urgency the rest of the year. And then you'll have teams like the White Sox who take out their best pitcher after like four innings. So, you know, to balance it all out.
Yeah, my God. 12-team playoffs, by the way, in baseball. I confused it with football for a moment. It does feel like it's more than 12. I mean, over the course of a 162-game season, you're just completely throwing those results out the window by having as many teams make it as you do. You are enabling the pores of baseball ownership to be competitive, which I say in quotation marks. It hasn't been, I think, necessarily a net gain. I get that we have more postseason baseball out of all of it, but are people watching that extra postseason baseball? I don't think so. So I think that baseball feels that it is, in totality, getting more fans to pay attention for a whole year. But I don't think it's a better product because it's more competitive. I just know it helps the Astros out this year.
Yeah, it definitely does. I kind of wish they would have eliminated divisions, because it feels like they look back at like 2015, I think it was, you had three teams in the NL Central win 97-plus games, and two of those teams played in a one-game wild card playoff, and they're like, this doesn't work. You've got good teams losing in the wild card round. It wasn't logical at the time, where you could have just eliminated the divisions and found a more balanced schedule where maybe you only play the American League, and then that removes the AL Central from being this dog division and making the playoffs for no reason every single year. But it should be a fun end of the year, and I'm curious how close the Astros can be, or if they will get a bye in the first round of the playoffs.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. It's Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call. To text, is the number one seed in the American League actually on the table for the Houston Astros? We'll continue this and get back into a beautiful preseason dub for the Texans next. Stick around.
Next Friday, myself and Sean will be headed to LaBerge Lake Charles to do shows there on Thursday and Friday from noon to 3. It's the best place to go and bet on your Texas teams when you want to leave Texas. If you want to get ready for college football, week 0 is here this weekend. But before week 1 really kicks off next week, the NFL season, obviously the Texans, the Cowboys, all the local teams are in action. If you want to get an over-under, player prop bets, all of that is available for you at the 19 Betting Kiosk. You can watch all the games on the 24-foot video wall. They'll have every game on a Sunday or a Saturday. We'll be on TV somewhere that weekend, including Red Zone. We'll be there as well. So you can bet on your teams. You can do it however you want, whether it's through the app, at the desk, at the kiosk. It's all there. It's all easy. The food's great. The drinks are great. You can get Carbox, Kofferbach while you're there in the sports book. Go to LaBerge, Lake Charles, and the sports book there when you only leave Texas and bet on your Texas teams, and tell them Joe George sent you.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Jones with the blitz coming late, looking down the sideline, and it's intercepted! Second pick of the day, thrown by Jones, Derek Stingley, who had one in the hands earlier. Squeeze!
raises this one to take it away for the Texans.
He's so bad. Jones is so bad. I want to be impressed by the Stingley interception there. It was a nice play on the ball. But Jones is just so bad.
At least with Stingley, you can like see a typical NFL quarterback tries to make that throw and Stingley makes a good play on it. That's where it's so different than the Petrie play. No other NFL quarterback with experience makes the Petrie interception.
I don't know that Brock Osweiler would have done that. I don't know that he would have done that.
Yeah, I don't.
I think that would have been too aggressive of a decision for Brock. And I think he would have actually thrown it out of bounds.
Yeah.
Jones went to Duke. He's supposed to be smart.
He can't read a defense. He can't throw the football. Well, you're right. He can throw it. He showed against backups. It's funny looking at his numbers. They were so, well, I think he was like 70% completion percentage once Stingley and Lassiter came out of
the game. Left him in the whole first half.
Because it was so bad.
That's almost a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
He left them in that preseason. He was left in that preseason game. By the way, no roof on the top of NRG Stadium.
Yeah,
and, I mean, that's got to suck to have been in that stadium cooking a little bit.
My dad said it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Now, they're on the our tickets are on the opposite side of the field.
Okay.
So he said it didn't feel that bad. And I saw someone put out, one of our listeners put out a tweet, was, did it feel better than Minute Maid? And people were responding, yes. So even with the roof partially
open.
But what I learned this weekend was that now it's officially an outdoor stadium. Until it's fixed. So even though most of the roof is there, that if it lightnings within a certain mile radius, that we'll be going into lightning delays.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yes. Like, there might be zero rain coming into the stadium, but that's what this said. I think it was John Harris who was explaining that.
I feel like it doesn't thunderstorm that much here in September.
Well, it's hurricane season.
It is hurricane season.
So,
but I feel like this isn't Florida. If you were in Florida, you would be screwed. Because in Florida, it thunderstorms about 3 to 4 times per afternoon. It's just a thing that happens there. I don't know about here. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I was texting some people who were there. Does the air conditioning feel good? Apparently, it's just miserable when the sun shines on you. The cameras could not figure out how to show things that were happening in the sunlight.
I did feel like there was a couple of Daniel Jones throws specifically, I remember, where he threw it into the sunlight area, and I lost the football. So I'm curious. I don't know what it was like in the stadium. I'm curious what the players thought, where like it's transitioning from dark to light so quickly, if they're losing the ball. But from a viewing experience, I was like, this is a tough look.
It's going to be hard to fix it. I think that the games that the Bucs have, it's always alarmingly bright at Tampa Bay Buccaneers games, and that's an outdoor stadium. So to have one little small part of the field just be completely glared up, for lack of a better term, it's not great for the television broadcast. Jalen Petrie, after that pick six, and they showed him on the sideline high-fiving people, he looked divine because the light was shining off of him, and as he's walking around on the sideline, it looked like he was one of the players in NFL Blitz who was on fire or something like that.
Yeah, it's going to take some getting used to. I hope it's really only like a month that that's a thing. Because it's just be so weird. Like, it's just like pouring rain.
I think they should open the whole roof. I do. I mean, there's a quote from Aziz Alshaier today that we shared with each other on our little text exchange. Aziz Alshaier said this: if you're soft, you might need to go somewhere. You might make it in the league, but you won't make it here. You'll have a job. It just won't be here. Get with it or get lost. Because the Texans' defense, very physical culture that they're setting. And I think you go one step further. Open the roof. You want to play the Texans? You're going to have to go and fight not just the Houston Texans. Swarm in defense. You're going to have to deal with the humidity.
Yeah.
You may as well just open the whole thing.
I agree.
I get it. The fans, it's not going to be a great experience for the fans. You don't have to wear anything. Just show up with less clothes and a lot of SPF. Okay? Lube up a little bit.
Yeah.
Hydrate first, mm-hmm. but, you know, bring some, get some concoctions in your system, and you're going to be sweating it out just like your beloved Houston Texans. You're all in it together. Don't be soft. They should have to play in the heat. The Miami Dolphins have that as a home field advantage all September. The Bucs do too. The Jaguars do too. I feel like you're missing out here. You have a retractable roof.
I wish they would, but they won't. They won't do it.
My taxes paid for the ability to retract that roof, and I'm voting for it to be retracted.
I think I'm going to pass. I'm a soft boy. If I'm in the, if the AC's good enough, just.
Yeah, you're like one of those people who you're in an Uber or something, and you're probably telling the Uber driver driving your car, I need the air conditioning set down to 68. And you know what I want? I'm going to take a Lyft. What does that mean? Oh, that means I'm going to have probably a 1998 Toyota Camry, and my driver probably going to have some body odor, and he's not going to turn the air conditioning on.
It doesn't work.
He's going to roll the windows down, and he's going to drive on the highway with the rolled down windows. Mm. And you know what? I could say something about it like I'm doing right now on the radio, but what I'll do in that moment in solidarity with the Houston Texans is I'm just going to sit in there, smell his essence, and sweat it out.
That happened this weekend?
No, it didn't. Okay. No. The last time I took a Lyft, it was rough. I was like, bro, I wanted to say something because I'm paying for it. But at the same time, I'm like, do I want to tell him he smells?
It puts you in a tough spot. Yeah, because if you complain, then like they can ding your rating.
Yeah,
you're just like, you know, complaining a little bit. And it's probably a fair complaint.
But I mean, turn the air conditioning on if you're in a car. But if you're, if I, once again, like the time that I walked to work here, 1 mile, 1.1 miles to work, 1.1 miles back from work, I walked the week the Texans played the Ravens in sub-zero temperatures. I walked to and from work when it was sub-zero temperatures here.
In your snowsuit.
In my snowsuit.
I do remember that.
In solidarity. And I'll do it again. But you guys all got to stop your bitching and moaning. The roof needs to be off. Your top off. Twist it around your head like a helicopter.
Just be a whole shirtless stadium.
Hell yeah.
Just everyone, rally towels. The Texans don't have to provide them now.
Well, you have to pass a check, like, when you go in. You have to pass a, would you look hot with your shirt off?
No, you're moving the goalpost here.
No.
So the fat people have to be extra sweaty?
Well, I guess that's true. They would be a little. I don't want to see the what lies beneath.
I understand.
Sounds like a horror movie when I say it like that.
I think it might be a horror movie, Paul, to be honest. Mike Ford sucks. That was one of my other takeaways from this game.
Oh, the Texans backup cornerback. Yeah. Look.
They're not good.
Here's something that's unfortunate as you continue to watch preseason football. The backups are generally not good at all.
He seems extra bad.
He's at a rough camp.
Yeah.
He's gotten burned a lot. I mean, their backup corners right now are Chris Boyd and Mike Ford, and they have not looked good. And if Derek Stingley gets hurt, or if Kamari Lassiter, who is a rookie, gets hurt, they're going to be in a pretty tricky situation. The good news is they still theoretically could sign a veteran corner, and I think they should sign a veteran corner because, yeah, while Jalen Petrie might be playing nickel corner for them, and you might be feeling a little bit better about the safety position because Jimmy Ward played well on Saturday, and Kalen Bullock has shown some promise in training camp and in the preseason game that he played before that one against the Steelers, the depth for the secondary is not great.
Yeah, it's just not. I would like seeing Stephon Gilmore, who just signed with the Vikings, so he's off the table for you now. I mean, look, there's a lot of guys that will get cut in the next 2 weeks because now that it's one cut day, so maybe they will explore that option then. Because at this point, we have to assume Okuda's also not a factor because he's been hurt for what, weeks? It seems like at this point. I did find it also interesting that Lassiter got the full like veteran treatment. He came out of the game as early as he did, and we've really not seen a lot of him in game action. So I thought that was also interesting from the game this weekend. We all knew he was the starter, but I just thought maybe he would get more preseason reps. But
no, he's ready. Believe. He's ready to go. Any Texan defender who played against D'Angelo Jones, let's be honest, they got worse. They got worse on Saturday. If you have to go up against some god-awful quarterback from Duke who got drafted because David Cutcliffe used to talk to Peyton Manning back in the day, and for whatever reason people think that David Cutcliffe is a genius because Peyton Manning's goons will knock on your door and threaten you like the time they threatened that Al Jazeera report that was looking into the shipment of HGH that went to the Manning household. The Manning family, the Manning mafia, got Daniel Jones drafted. People were even saying, yeah, he's just like Eli Manning 2.0. Why? Because he looks kind of derpy? Like, what are we talking about here?
Peyton Manning is one of the worst like analysts in terms of that we've ever seen. I mean, he's the reason why, what's the clown's name? Adam Gase? while he got jobs with the Jets, the Broncos.
Yeah, it's
he was just Peyton's lackey.
Well, I don't know if he was a lackey or not. I'm just saying there's a lot of people that got undeserved jobs because they were close to Peyton Manning. In the same way that a lot of people got jobs because they were close to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick that they shouldn't have gotten.
It's true.
But Daniel Jones, because of this weird, like, David Cutcliffe tire-punching session that we had for years in national media, because people that didn't actually watch Duke football, because why would you?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is how Daniel Jones ends up being a first-round pick. Not too long after Mitchell Trubisky was a first-round pick, for God's sake.
That was North Carolina.
Same state, same conference,
Paul,
same results.
Paul, you're a quarterback.
What, you think I'm going to bend over backwards to support someone from Tobacco Road?
Saying, Drake May is a North Carolina
guy. I hate
guy.
That state, and I hate those ACC people that think that they're good because the basketball programs are good. Our uniforms look cool. We're good football programs now. We can hire Mac Brown. Look at us. We have David Cutcliffe. None of you matter. None of your players should be drafted at quarterback.
Agreed.
You don't go up against anybody. I'm not thrilled about Drake May. Okay. I'm not thrilled about it. Okay?
Yeah, I can tell.
I haven't watched any preseason football, by the
but
way.
But it's just like if you go to Duke or North Carolina.
Yeah, if you go to Duke or North Carolina, I'm like, you probably suck. Like, that's what I think.
This is a fair take. Like, you're just like, if you're a quarterback from Duke and North Carolina.
You should be a fifth-round pick like T.J. Yates was. And by the way, T.J. Yates, fifth-round pick out of North Carolina, probably the best North Carolina quarterback ever.
Mm. Same Hal, solid. And he was like,
oh, yeah,
third,
he's sure solid.
Yeah.
What team is he on? What's team is he on now?
Seattle.
But he's been on, what, two teams already?
Yeah, this is the second.
Yeah. He had his tires pumped up. One of the Barstool draft guys said he was going to be the number one overall pick.
Cool. That's.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you get for listening to this.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying. You brought it up. And this person's like, I'm a film guy.
NC State, though. You got
Philip Rivers.
Now that Philip Rivers. You got Mario Williams.
Because that's a working class university. But North Carolina Hard and Duke hat. are those ritzy cake eating private school bleep schools.
Russell Wilson, I think
NC State.
NC State.
They get credit for him, right?
They do.
They get more credit than Wisconsin. How's that work?
They didn't want him to play baseball, so he transferred out of spite.
Run him out of town.
Yeah,
not fully run him out of town, but the coach was like,
they basically ran him out of town.
Yeah, was like, you're not going to play for us if you play.
And baseball. Now you kind of understand why they tried to run him out of town.
Because he's weird.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was like that in college.
Mike Glennon. They're like, we'll take our chances with Mike Glennon.
Now that's the neck right there. That guy's got a long neck.
He does have a long neck. Speaking of long necks, we'll remember somebody else with a long neck as we get closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. We're just 17 days away. Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
But don't do that by my ear. Don't do it by my ear. Now.
I will do it by my ear.
No.
Hey,
that's what I do.
1-7.
That's what I do.
I'll holler at you after the game.
The great Philip Rivers.
Mm.
Probably the best number 17 in NFL history that I can remember. I know some people are going to make the case for Devontae Adams and what he's done as a wide receiver, but I feel of all those quarterbacks from the Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Philip Rivers draft class in, 2003 or 2004? I think it was 2004. I felt that Rivers was the best quarterback of those three.
Yeah, it would have been nice if he... It's just crazy he's the only one without a Super Bowl of those three. Like those other guys had, I think, four Super Bowls combined between Ben and Eli? And then Rivers has probably four playoff wins in his career. But I agree, he's... There's a reason why there'll be an argument for him to make the Hall of Fame. I'm very curious with that.
He's more of a Hall of Famer than Eli.
I agree.
Eli won the two Super Bowls, and we put a lot of stock into winning a Super Bowl. But you take a look at Eli Manning's record as a quarterback. We're talking close to 500. He had those two incredible playoff runs. He basically has had Joe Flacco's career with two titles.
Yeah. I mean,
with no playoff where he played as well as Flacco. He played decent. But I felt like the pass rush for the Giants carried him in a couple of years where he didn't make mistakes in those playoffs.
Yeah, and I think it's actually exactly 500, I believe.
It's close to it, right.
His regular season record, at least. Yeah, I'm team Phillip Rivers over Eli Manning all day.
But it won't happen because that's the
way the cookie crumbles, if you will.
Also, who wore number 17 for the Houston Texans. Just get it over with, Sean.
Do you feel there's been a consistent theme with the interceptions that you've thrown this year?
No, I don't. I think every interception really has a different story.
Yep, Brock Osweiler. 2016. Texans went the furthest they ever went in the playoffs that year, for what it's worth, with Brock Osweiler under center.
I think King of Twitch asked this earlier. Worst contract, Brock Osweiler, Daniel Jones?
Well, it's Daniel Jones because the Texans got rid of the contract.
They had to give up a pick to get
still
rid
got
of
rid of it.
I know.
Still got rid of it.
I don't think the Giants could attach a pick to make someone take it on.
Yeah, I don't think the Texans don't think they would take a second round pick to make Daniel Jones the backup here in Houston.
No, and
I would. No, if the Giants were trading me Daniel Jones as a backup, I mean, I would take him as a backup. But
because did Brock start in Cleveland? I can't remember.
I think he did.
I think he did.
I mean, that was the Hugh Jackson years, so it doesn't really matter if he started.
He started for the Dolphins against the Texans.
That's right.
In 2018.
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot he did do that.
No, his career was not done after the Texans, but everyone thinking that he had the capability of being a starting quarterback died.
Yeah.
In that just miserable 2016 season.
I can't ignore my guy, though. David Anderson. Love DA. He's one of my favorite people in this business when we do radio with him. So shout out to David Anderson, number 17.
When did he play?
DA was the 2000s?
Okay. Yeah. I've always wondered why he's DA.
Because it's his initials?
Okay.
I don't think it means that it's not all day. All day on the bench.
All day, DA. Hey.
Sorry, David.
I thought you liked him. I thought you were friends with him.
Look, John Harris has inspired me, okay? John Harris was just taking drive-bys that whole game on people. So I got to continue my ways.
Okay. The preseason, Caleb Williams had two fun throws, Joe.
He did. They were very fun.
You got a new podcast talking about the Bears?
Yeah, we're going to do some Bears stuff, but focus on this still, mostly.
I'm
just kidding. This is my focus. We'll do some Bears stuff. But Caleb Williams, those two throws were very fun.
Did you feel like he played well for the most part? A lot of people said, okay, those two throws came against backup players. I heard Dell on the way in talking about how he didn't really need to do the pirouette and bomb downfield. He could have probably just bombed it downfield without doing the cool stuff before.
Yeah, I am curious if that's it's wanting to be a cool thing. I mean, that's what he did a lot at USC. Yeah, the offense wasn't great at the beginning of the game. But the hype is out of control for rookie quarterbacks right now. Like, what was happening last night on social media for Bo Nix? Going 8 for 9 for 90 yards and a touchdown, acting like he's Drew Brees again is insane.
Yeah.
I get the Caleb Williams hype. He's the number one pick. People are freaking out over Bo Nix. I don't understand.
It's been interesting to see that. I'm glad you brought that up because go back to January and the first person who was pushing the idea of Bo Nix as maybe the best quarterback in this year's draft class was Colin Cowherd. Who's Colin Cowherd gotten pretty cozy with of late?
Sean Payton.
So I'm sure that Colin Cowherd was talking to Sean Payton, and Sean Payton actually liked Bo Nix of all of those quarterbacks. But now you're seeing Diana Russini pushing the same thing in a piece for The Athletic, and Colin Cowherd is doubling down on Nix as the best quarterback in this year's draft class. And he might be right. The reality is he probably will be wrong, and everyone will forget that he was wrong about this, and we will go right back into predicting one of these rookie quarterbacks before we even see them play in a regular season game being the guy. We've seen this with Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago before. 100%. Some of the people that are crowning Caleb Williams.
Exactly.
It's like Mitchell Trubisky crowning never happens.
It's two plays. I'm overly excited, yes, but I'm also well-adjusted.
They were cool plays.
Not freaking out because I've seen Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky. But what's happening right now with Caleb Williams and Bo Nix is absurd.
It happens every year, and it was funny too.
It's getting worse.
On the other side of things, people were really overreacting to CJ Stroud's first performance against the Patriots. It was the worst thing ever. He had two drives. They weren't great. No, that's for sure. You got sacked on them. They were really bad, but I mean, people were like, oh, he might be a bust. he got to play two series, and the series went poorly.
Yeah, I think it's getting worse because I think it's because of CJ. CJ has like clouded everyone's judgment.
I don't think it has anything to do with that.
About rookie quarterbacks.
I think that ultimately we have gotten into this land where we are so starved for football, there's so little football, that a couple of highlights we get excited about, and we feel the need to overanalyze said small little clips because that's all we got.
Yeah.
And that there's so many take artists out there, and there's so many people that are trying to set themselves apart because they want you to believe that they actually know what they're talking about when they break down film. We just have too many people talking about it. I'm sorry to be a gatekeeper, if you will, but I feel like a lot of people out there who are talking about this time of year forget that it's this time of year.
Yeah, but then like you have like the biggest media personalities are the ones who are the most guilty. Nick Wright's the one who put the Bears in the Super Bowl this year, not me. Like,
well, you haven't revealed your picks
yet. It's not going to be the Bears. Can't confirm.
Okay.
Also,
can confirm. It will not be. I will not pick the Bears to go to the Super Bowl this year. I promise.
Also, I mean, listen, just doing a little wind tour stuff, finger pointing around right now. But Danny Parkins and Nick Wright are very close friends. This is an interesting way to bring your close friend into the Fox Sports family by pumping up the tires of the team that he used to cover and has the local expertise in before that person comes in. So now this person has, by default, become the Caleb Williams guy with the Patrick Mahomes guy. And if the Caleb Williams thing works out, then, I mean, the takes are going to continue to rise up to the top of Mount Takemore.
I do like that we're already having the who's going to be the best quarterback in this draft class conversation again after most of these guys have only played two preseason games, probably have thrown less than 20 passes in a preseason setting. And we started this segment talking about who was the best quarterback in the 2004 draft class, where all three of those guys' career is already over.
Yeah.
And there's still a discussion about who's the best
and quarterback. There will be forever.
Yeah. But these guys have only played two preseason games, and we're already like, I don't know who's the best.
Unless you're Michael Penix, and you were so good in your first preseason game that you don't have to play again. What?
Yeah,
he's the guy, even though he's going to be the backup.
He's exempt from the second preseason game.
He did get hurt, I think, right?
No, they just said they saw enough.
Oh,
Unless maybe he
I mean, he might have gotten.
I thought he got his bell rung in that first game. At least I thought I read.
The Falcons should do some Astros injury communication then and be like, slept funny. He's going to miss the game.
Bone bruise.
He was so good that he.
You could say bone bruise for a concussion, couldn't you? Technically, because hits your brain.
I'm not a doctor.
Hits your skull.
Yeah. 17 days away from the start of the NFL season.
And then we'll know who's the best quarterback in the
draft. After week
one. Yes.
At least Colt McCoy retired. Tip of the hat.
Yeah, some big TV announcement coming, too. I'm curious what it is.
Oh, he's going to be the, not the guy for NBC, but he's going to be an NBC play-by-play guy.
Oh, interesting.
Or color commentary. Hmm. He's doing his first assignment. Is Nebraska and Colorado.
Hell yeah, dude.
Okay. Like that.
And on that note, we shift to another topic. Sometimes things happen to you. Sometimes these things that happen to you are very embarrassing. Let me tell you a tale about a man who was just trying to travel when things did not go as planned. Next, Scalon and George, stick around.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Astros took 2 of 3 from the White Sox over the weekend. They're a season best 11 games over 500 and have a season high 4-game lead in the American League West. And the Texans beat the Giants in preseason game number 2, 28-10. The defense in particular, Jalen Petrie, looked very impressive. We did get a text line. I believe that this is from Drew Shirley online. On Twitter, he had proposed nicknames for Astros players weekends, and I think on the back of Astros players' jerseys, they used to in the past have a different nickname, but for whatever reason, this year they got rid of the players' weekend.
Yeah, I think it's coming back, the nicknames are.
Okay. Well, they weren't on the jerseys, but you can buy the jerseys that have the nickname on the back. and they don't have those monstrosity jerseys that they were, for whatever reason, breaking out that looked just as bad as the MLB All-Star games. But here are the alternative nicknames as proposed for some of the Houston Astros this weekend.
Okay.
Jose Altuve, Boo Mas.
Like it?
It means boo more if you don't do Duolingo like me, 93-day streak.
Nice.
On Espanol. Alex Bregman, Mr. August.
Okay, that's not bad. I prefer Mr. October, but Mr. August is fine too.
Jordan Alvarez, upside down, reference to the home run call in 2022.
That's a good one.
Kyle Tucker, slight bruise on the back of his jersey for Players Weekend.
That's mean.
It's not mean. I mean,
it's accurate.
He has a slight bruise.
Yeah.
That's why we're not seeing him in that uniform.
He's in his practice uniforms.
Yiner Diaz, not Maldonado.
Love that.
I think a lot of Astros fans would agree with that. I think that's, honestly, I think that's mean. I think that's mean to one of our fearless leaders.
Not our leader anymore.
Well, we'll see if they have what it takes to win in the playoffs without Martin Maldonado. Jeremy Pena, his is, hey, girl.
I just wish like there was like a way we could put you singing Jeremy Pena as his nickname on the back of his jersey.
Could be that. I would, instead of hey, girl, for Jeremy Pena, I would say vasectomy, because everyone Ooh. Sees him and says, I want your babies, Jeremy.
Like,
I want your babies and your big biceps all over me.
What about just like, I want your babies as his nickname? Like, or the, you want my babies.
John Singleton's proposed Players Weekend nickname, Bat Flipton.
Good.
He did have a pinch hit home run.
He should be your first baseman all the time.
You think so?
Yeah, I like what they're trying to do with the Zenzo, but just play Singleton.
Yeah, at this point, it might make a little more sense. Maybe they feel better about DeCenzo as a fielder. Mauricio Dubon, better Kemp. Reference to Tony Kemp.
I like Tony Kemp too much to say that.
Jake Myers, not Mariznick.
Same as Mariznick?
They are similar. Chaz McCormick, wait till last year.
I miss Dusty.
Yeah, banana pudding would have worked too. More proposed Astros nicknames for the back of their jerseys on Players Weekend. You say Kikuchi. I say another word for coochie, if you will.
That might be funnier if it was just like the I say another word for all down the back of the jersey.
Yeah, it's like the Bond villain. A lot of Fachina. Right. Hunter Brown, JV. Okay.
I feel like he means JV Jr. Like there's a typo here, but maybe not.
These three in a row, Spencer Arrighetti, Victor Caratini, and Zach DeZenzo, are, I believe, a reference to Inglourious Bastards. Gorlami, DiCocco, Margariti.
Like that. That's good.
Ronel Blanco, Mr. White. Brian Abreu, good Abreu. That's a good one. Framber Valdez, Harvey Dent.
Ooh.
That suggests he's two-faced in nature. Taylor Scott, misspelled. That's true. There's an E there. And Josh Hader, not Osuna. Proposed nicknames for the back of the Astros jerseys for Players Week, and that's courtesy of Drew Shirley, a fun guy.
Now, I'll give you a B-plus for effort. There's too many knots, so there's too many names that are similar. Too many nicknames that are similar. There's not Maldonado, not Mariznick, not Osuna. You have change those up a little bit, but overall,
I like those. I think they refer to things that we had that we were not thrilled with.
A text line from the 201, a QR code on the back of Jeremy Pena's jersey that leads to a link of Paul singing his name.
That would work too.
That would work very well.
I sang it to his face once, looked deep into his eyes, and he was so confused because I'm sure he had never heard that song before. Because it is a little bit dated. And also, this is the same show where two people that are on it did not know what Hunger Strike by Temple of the Dog was. Will I hold that over your heads despite being completely musically challenged?
Seems like it.
For the rest of time? Probably. Probably.
You know what, Paul?
You got one on us.
Got to bully you for my mini victories that I have when I know something about music.
Whoever the next Flow Rida is.
It was just a week ago that I discovered that Flow Rida meant, like, oh yeah, he's from Florida. Also, I wasn't sure if he was white or black, and I found out that he is not white.
But you knew who Flo Rida was, or you had at least heard of Flo
Rida. Right, I thought it was just Flo, like F-L-O-W. Yeah. space.
It's a double entendre. That's
what
they call it. Yeah. Works both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just don't know what's a bit and what's not, because I thought that was a bit. I didn't know you were being serious when you said that.
Mm.
That's probably a good thing.
Welcome to the show, Joe. Welcome to the show. You know what's not a bit? Peeing yourself. That's really committing if you pee yourself.
That's true.
Now I bring that up because a former NFL offensive lineman, he peed himself. And he peed himself while on a plane flying to Ireland.
Oh, no.
Former NFL offensive lineman Gosder Sherilis was arrested early Sunday morning after allegedly urinating on a fellow passenger on a flight to Ireland, which was forced to return to Boston. Gosder Sherilis, for his part, released a statement about an hour and a half ago. I'd like to address the media reports about me that surfaced today regarding a situation that occurred on board a flight to Ireland this past weekend. The flight was unexpectedly delayed for approximately 4 hours, and it did not take off until after 12:30 a.m. I believe you can check that. In preparation for the unexpected overnight flight, I took a sleeping medication that I don't normally use, which resulted in behavior that is not representative of my character. And I would like to apologize to the passengers and flight crew. So here's my question. Because I hear him talking about taking the sleeping pills, and I'm assuming, okay, he took the sleeping pills and he just peed himself while he was asleep.
Yeah.
Who hasn't done that? Like, right, I mean, we all grow up doing that. If you're a little kid, you do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, I guess I've never taken a sleeping pill. My question, so were they in the air or not? It doesn't sound
this
like
is
it.
Where it gets tricky, because I don't know if Gosder Sherilis stood up and just peed on the person next to him. Because
the way the story is, the headline is written on social media by Jonathan Jones is that he did it intentionally. It reads that way.
Well, because the report says, the police report, an unruly passenger urinated on another passenger. And if he's in the statement saying that... it resulted in behavior that is not representative of my character, and I would like to apologize.
I think he did it on purpose. I don't think this was an accident. Maybe he thought he was at the bathroom when he wasn't. I did have a friend once who, you know, he was a big sleepwalker, and he would, like, we'd wake up, like, sleeping over at his house, like, all the boys, and he was, like, peeing in a drawer because he thought he was at the bathroom.
Here
it does happen.
Here are the details. Sherilis appeared drunk when he arrived at Logan Airport. Well, that's a flight at Logan. Come on. Before the flight took off, he allegedly argued with another passenger over seating arrangements. Then about an hour into the flight, investigators said he walked up to an elderly woman, exposed himself, and emptied his entire bladder for approximately 20 seconds.
This guy should go to jail.
Court documents said the passengers and crew on the flight were in complete shock and feared for their safety. Because he's a former NFL offensive lineman. He's a big guy. The flight crew attempted to stop Sherilis, but said he became unruly and aggressive. On his way back to his seat, he allegedly hit an elderly man with his right hand, according to the report.
What's going after all the old people?
He's 6'6 and weighs about 280 pounds. They had to use two sets of handcuffs to restrain him when he was arrested because of his size. And because the incident happened during the flight over Canadian waters, it's a federal investigation.
Oh, I mean, this guy should go to prison. And pee on an old lady? Come on.
I love the statement. I took a sleeping medication that I don't normally use, which resulted in behavior that is not representative of my character. The old, what's that stuff that that people use whenever they tweet out crazy stuff? Ambien is the go-to.
Oh, yeah.
I had too much melatonin. And then I started tweeting pro-Hitler tweets, you know? Oh, it happens. Whomst amongst us haven't?
At least they were only an hour. Could you imagine, like, if they were, like, 4 hours away and they had to turn back?
No.
That would suck.
No. I mean, he can't even pull the I was sleepwalking thing here.
Yeah. He was drunk and took medication, it sounds like.
Who hasn't peed themselves when flying back to the old country? I just haven't peed on somebody else. Have you heard about the Troubles, Joe? In the Troubles, we had lots of moments like this. Northern Irish people. That's why we got into the wars with them, and we started bombing their cars, Joe.
Because they were peeing on
us. Because they were peeing on us on the planes, because they thought they were better than us, these Protestant bastards.
That does make sense. I could see why that would cause a war.
Yeah, I'm just shocked by this story. But look, sometimes things happen on the way to Ireland. sometimes a giant offensive lineman takes too much sleeping pills and gets drunk and pees all over the elderly and punches another one.
I feel like that is the worst part. Like, it's happening. All of a sudden you look up and it's like this, like, six
what do you
dude.
Do? What do you do? A serious question.
You just take it.
What do you do? No, if you're on a plane, yeah, there's a 6'6", 280-pound guy that's just peeing everywhere. What if you're one of the other passengers, what do you do? Yeah, like, you're going to take this guy on?
Like, I don't want to get thrown out the plane.
Hey, buddy, stop it. But you're still, like, in your seat.
Hey, yeah. Man, that's not cool. Right, exactly. Like, you're not going to do anything.
Just pray hey, not that on an not... elderly person.
And if you're in your seat, I mean, you're probably strapped in. Like, what are you going to do? You got nowhere to run.
The worst part, like, imagine you're someone else who took a sleeping pill, and all of a sudden you wake back up, and you're back in Boston. And you're just like, wow, we're there already? Like, no, this dude peed on someone, and we're back where we left. And it's like, you're like, oh.
Maybe if you're in a window seat. That's when you really start chirping because it just would take so long for you to get out or for him to come and yeah. start peeing on you or whatever he's going to do on you. Then you can really talk a lot, but you know, like, nothing's actually going to happen to me.
713-780-3776 to call and to text. And has this ever happened to you? Has an offensive lineman ever peed on you while you were flying from Boston to Ireland? If you've got a story about that, please share. With class action lawsuit, we're putting it together right now. Also up next, the Houston Astros. They are 4 games up on the Mariners, and they're just 5 games out of the top record in the American League. Can they get it done? Because it's about to go down for real. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.